purpose in journalism and cultural expression.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagle's Rest, a furniture store in downtown Lawrence featuring Copeland natural hardwood furniture for the entire home, hand-built in Vermont from American cherry, walnut, or oak. At EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
It's 32 degrees in Topeka, 36 in Lawrence. The time is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Coming up in our next half hour, we will have results of women's figure skating at the Olympics. We will tell you this weird story about poo and perfume. And we have our shortwave news roundup coming up shortly. We're going to be talking about the biggest science news of the week, according to our podcast team. That's all coming up here on KPR. And don't forget, we'll have news headlines at 6:30. You know, we had a little bit of a technical glitch. This is public radio. We air most of our audio out of what is probably a 26, 27-year-old system, and it kind of conked out right at the end. So I want to make sure we don't give short shrift to our community spotlight this month, and just remind you that if you'd like to learn more about Baby J's Legacy of Hope, visit their website, babyjslegacy.org. You can also find more information at the Kansas Public Radio website.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
This week's Classics Live has Washburn University Music Department's Director of Keyboard Studies, Lucy Tan. KPR favorite. We hear some Beethoven and some Schumann tonight. It's coming your way at 7 o'clock on your KPR1 stations. It's Classics Live, a KPR exclusive. It's 6:20.
Support comes after the recent release of files by the U.S. Justice Department. He's accused of giving confidential government information to Jeffrey Epstein. What could his arrest mean for others named in the files? We'll have the latest developments tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
From 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, you can hear Morning Edition on your KPR stations. We simulcast it on KPR 1 and KPR 2. Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu.
News headlines are coming up in just about 40 seconds. It is 35 degrees in Lawrence, 27 in Manhattan. The time is 6:30.
That's in the Regents race. For NPR News, I'm Macy Byers.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. President Donald Trump has appointed three more federal judges in Kansas, adding to the list of state officials he's elevated to national positions. The appointees included Tony Mativi, who leads the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, as well as Solicitor General Anthony Powell. Republican State Attorney General Chris Kobach selected Mativi and Powell for their current roles.
It's definitely a big loss for my office personally and for the KBI, but it's a big gain for the state of Kansas in terms of having two great judges serving on the Kansas District Court.
Once the vacancies are filled, that means all six of the active federal district judges in Kansas will be Trump appointees. A former Kansas foster care leader has pleaded guilty to federal wire fraud charges after admitting to stealing from the organization. As Dylan Lyson reports, Robert Smith was the CEO of the foster care contractor St. Francis Ministries from 2014 to 2020.
The Kansas Reflector reports that Smith admitted to using the organization's credit cards for personal spending. He also admitted to authorizing payments for fraudulent invoices to embezzle money. Prosecutors accused Smith and his co-defendant, William Weimark, of inflating the prices of invoices to steal nearly $5 million from the state contractor. Smith was facing 20 charges of wire fraud and money laundering, but pleaded guilty to a single charge. Weimark pleaded guilty to two charges of wire fraud last year. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
State of Kansas may be the next state to ban sugary drinks and sweets for those using SNAP benefits. KPR's Zach Boblett has that story.
The legislation passed the Kansas House, but drew criticism from Democrats like Representative Stephanie Sawyer Clayton, who says the bill chooses junk food winners and losers. The bill allows people using their SNAP card to purchase cookies, muffins, and chips, but soda and candy are a no-go.
We're saying that Mars is bad because they make candy, but Lay's is okay, even though, guess what, potato chips aren't healthy either.
Republicans in favor of the bill say billions of dollars are spent on sweets within the SNAP program, which could be spent on healthier options like meat and produce. GOP supporters say the federal government might claw back rural hospital funding if Kansas fails to pass the ban. The bill now moves to the Senate. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
With wildfires in western Kansas and Oklahoma, officials are monitoring air quality. Kothar Shire reports.
Republicans in the Kansas House.
The Kansas Department of Health and Environment says that healthy people should limit or avoid strenuous outdoor exercise, and vulnerable people should remain indoors. Children, the elderly, and those with respiratory conditions and cardiovascular diseases face the highest risk of health problems from the pollutants released by wildfires. Officials say updates will be provided when air quality index results are available.
This is KPR.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. It was...
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Next time on Prairie Journal, Stories of Community. It's part two of this month's Kansas 250 Bookshelf.
Murals, for the most part, we don't get to choose whether we're going to see them or not. They're in the public realm, so we just come upon them, we live with them, perhaps we even participate in making them.
They play jazz and then blues at the same time, gut bucket blues.
I'm Kay McIntyre. Join me for Prairie Journal, 11 o'clock Sunday morning on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies too, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Coming up on your KPR One stations, we have Classics Live, followed by a little more classical music, and then Jazz in the Night at 9 o'clock. If you're joining us on KPR Two, we have Prairie Journal coming up at 7 o'clock, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, providing Kansas teachers and educators nationwide with retirement plans and investment options, and funding the Kansas Teacher of the Year program. More information at securitybenefit.com.
Heading for a low in the lower 20s tonight, highs in the lower 40s tomorrow. It is 35 degrees in Lawrence, and it is 10 minutes before 7.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Easy Cater, a workplace food platform dedicated to making it easy for organizations to order food from a wide variety of restaurants, set up employee meal programs, and manage food spend at easycater.com. From the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. From Workday, a next-gen ERP powered by AI that's dedicated to helping customers focus on their most meaningful work. Workday. It's a new Workday. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
What could the arrest of the man formerly known as Prince Andrew mean for others named in the Epstein files? The latest on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Get the very latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles, located in downtown Topeka, offering dental services with an emphasis on dentures and implants with all current health and safety protocols. More at drchronister.com.
Coming up next on KPR, we have Classics Live. Music of Beethoven and Schumann, and many, many others tonight. It's followed by a little more classical music than jazz in the night. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Bridgehaven in Lawrence, providing family-style memory care in a home environment and 24-hour nursing care on-site. More information is at mybridgehaven.com.
Partly cloudy skies in the forecast tonight with a low in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine, but not as warm as we've seen in the last few days. Highs in the lower 40s. We have a 40% chance of snow tomorrow night. Little or no accumulation expected, but keep an eye on it. Lows in the mid-20s. It's 7:01. Classics Live is next.
Welcome to the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts. Come on in. I'm Cordelia Brown. This is a Doreen Morande professional recital that's part of KPR's weekly series, Classics Live, with a special pianist, Dr. Lucy Tan. Lucy Tan is director of keyboard studies at Washburn University's Music Department in Topeka. She's also a listener favorite here on Kansas Public Radio, where she's come to play many times. Having played in Carnegie Hall and Kennedy Center, here's Lucy Tan getting ready to play for us on stage at Johnson County Community College. We'll hear some very interesting Robert Schumann in a bit, his Kreisleriana. But first, Dr. Tan is giving us Beethoven's 30th Piano Sonata, E major, Opus 109. So it's later Beethoven, the 30th sonata, out of the 32 piano sonatas that Beethoven wrote.
Thank you. Thank you.
The last movement of that piano sonata, number 30, by Beethoven, was a sequence of six variations on the sonata's main theme, which Beethoven marked lyrical with deepest sentiment. Written 7 years before Beethoven's death in 1827, it was third to last of his piano sonatas. Pianist Lucy Tan has just played for us the 30th sonata by Ludwig von Beethoven in E major, opus 109. Next, we'll hear a collection of descriptive pieces by Robert Schumann called Kreisleriana. This is a dramatic set Schumann said was based on Kreisler, a character created by E.T.A. Hoffman. Quote, an eccentric, wild, and witty conductor, unquote. Like the kaleidoscopic Kreisler, each number has multiple contrasting sections resembling the imaginary musician's manic depression and recalling Schumann's own Florestan and Eusebius, the two characters Schumann used to indicate his own contrasting impulsive and dreamy sides.
Thank you.
Written in only 4 days, during April of 1838. A set of 8 pieces by Robert Schumann, called collectively Kreisleriana. Bringing it to life for us was Lucy Tan. Not an easy set to play, due to all of the mood changes and Schumann's sometimes tricky musical configurations where there's often a lot going on at once. Lucy Tan just did a great job of showing the color, the life, and the motion inside of the pieces. Dr. Lucy Tan took to the piano early, giving her first concert at age 11 when she was in a radio show. Then at age 12, she featured as soloist on stage in her first concerto concert with an orchestra. Lucy Tan teaches piano at Washburn University in Topeka, where she's their director of keyboard studies. There's quite an active piano studio and musical life at Washburn. Check for their next performances at washburn.edu, where you can download their performance calendar for the year. And check our website too, Kansas Public Radio, for the Classics Live page, where you can hear this show again or share it with a friend. Our sound engineer Chuck Smith recorded Lucy Tan's recital here at the Midwest Chess Center at Johnson County Community College. I'm Cordelia Brown, your Classics Live producer and concert mate. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. another KPR recording performed by members of the 2024 Chamber Music Festival in the Flint Hills, Scheherazade. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, the app, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Refugees living in the United States legally could soon face immigration detention if they have not received their green cards. NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports on the new policy issued by the Trump administration.
The new policy from the Homeland Security Department says immigrants who came to the U.S. as refugees could be detained if they do not have their green cards within a year of arriving. Refugees are already required to apply for green cards, but this new policy makes not having the green card a reason for deportation and states that refugees may be placed in detention while their applications are being reviewed. Refugee resettlement groups estimate thousands could be affected, mostly those who entered under the Biden administration. Last year, the Trump administration cut off key funding to organizations that assist refugees, including with services that help with green card applications. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump made a stop in Northwest Georgia today to talk about the economy. During his visit, he also threw his support behind a candidate to replace former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Sarah Callis from Georgia Public Broadcasting reports.
Trump gave his full endorsement to Clay Fuller, a Northwest Georgia district attorney running to fill Green's seat. Clay Cooper lives in Rome, Georgia. He says he still hasn't decided who will get his vote yet. And while Trump's endorsement matters, it's not the only thing he's looking at.
I don't just kind of blindly follow what he says.
This race puts a spotlight on the challenge that Trump faces to keep his MAGA coalition intact. Marjorie Taylor Greene was famously a Trump ally until a very public split last year. Trump has a stake in ensuring that her successor will be a loyalist. The special election runs through March 10th. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Callis in Rome.
President Trump is nominating his former personal lawyer for a seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports Justin Smith has played a major role in several of Trump's key legal disputes.
In 2023, Smith represented Trump in his unsuccessful efforts to overturn a $5 million jury verdict, finding him liable for sexually assaulting writer E. Jean Carroll. Trump is now appealing his losses in that case to the Supreme Court. In announcing Smith's nomination on Truth Social, Trump said that the nominee had also played a major role in persuading the Supreme Court to grant Trump substantial immunity from criminal prosecution after leaving office. Smith is an attorney in a boutique law practice in Missouri that was started by Trump's current Solicitor General, D. John Sauer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks traded lower today on Wall Street. The Dow was down 267 points. The Nasdaq fell 70. This is NPR News.
Stardate February 19th. If you stepped off a spacecraft onto the surface of Titan, you might experience a little deja vu. Saturn's largest moon has many of the same features as Earth. That includes rivers and seas, clouds, and even rainfall. It's the only world in the solar system other than Earth with bodies of liquid on its surface. What wouldn't seem familiar is the temperature, almost 300 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. In that icebox, water is frozen as hard as granite. So Titan's rivers and seas and clouds are made of liquid methane and ethane. Titan is a large world, about half again the diameter of our moon. And it has the densest atmosphere of any moon in the solar system. The surface pressure is equivalent to a depth of 50 feet in Earth's oceans. The methane and ethane are quickly broken apart by sunlight, so the supply in the air has to be renewed. The most likely source is cryovolcanoes, volcanoes that belch frozen water. Methane mixed with the water would waft into the atmosphere. The volcanoes could be fed by an ocean of liquid water below the surface, perhaps much more water than in all of Earth's oceans combined. Both the ocean and the liquid bodies on the surface are possible homes for microscopic life. One more similarity to our own world. Saturn looks like a bright star near the moon this evening. Through good binoculars or a small telescope, Titan looks like a tiny star quite near the planet. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. Glad to be listening to some music with you. You remember that scene at the beginning of 101 Dalmatians, the original 101 Dalmatians, when Pongo's looking out the window at all the owners walking their dogs, and each pair sort of looks alike? You know, that's the gag. People just kind of gravitate toward things that remind them of themselves. The ego is a curious thing. That phenomenon might have been at work here for the composer Mili Balakirev. The Shakespeare play he chose to write music for was King Lear. He was kind of a lyrish guy himself. He was definitely a father figure in the Russian music scene. He took composers under his wing. He was proud. He was charismatic, kind of belligerent, at times even petty, controlling. Sounds like a tragic hero to me. Here's the King Lear Overture.
Thank you.
It's the BBC Philharmonic performing the King Lear Overture by Mili Balakirev. Sound recording really only became a thing in the early 1900s, which means, tragically, we'll never really know what Bach and Mozart and Beethoven truly sounded like when they played. All we can do is read about how they sounded, which, I don't know, for me, has always been so dissatisfying. I don't know about you. Sergei Rachmaninoff, on the other hand, was born in 1873, right around the time sound recording was invented, so you sounded like. And here he is now. Don't mess with my Rachmaninoff. I wonder if his friends ever teased him, Rachmaninoff. The Polka VR by Sergei Oh, man, amazing. Just amazing. It's Mozart's Buddy Symphony coming right up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Aristo Sham with the 2025 Van Cliburn International Piano Competition on Thursday, March 5th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu. And the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 30 and cloudy. Wind is from the west-northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, snowy with a low in the mid-20s. It's 30 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
You'll do things for friends that you won't do for others. The Mozarts were close with the Haffner family of Salzburg. In fact, Father Haffner supported some of their tours when Mozart was just a little kid. So even though Mozart was, as he said, quote, up to his eyeballs with work, in 1783, when one of the Haffner sons asked him to write some music for his ennoblement, he dashed this off, because that's what you do for a friend. Symphony number 35, The Haffner. Thank you. the Dresden State Orchestra performing the Hafner Symphony No. 35 by Mozart.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Spider Arc Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More information on home preservation is at Spider with a Y, SpiderArcConstructors.com. And the Sulis Fine Art 20th Annual Winter Auction, featuring Kansas artist Burgess N. Zane, along with historic works by KU faculty Raymond Eastwood, Robert Sudlow, and Albert Block. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 27 and cloudy. Wind is from the west-northwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, snowy with a low in the mid-20s. It's 27 and cloudy. From KPR's 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
The Mediterranean Diptych by Vincent Dandy.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Lawrence Opera Theater, presenting A Night on Broadway, an evening of Broadway hits, hidden gems, and opera classics for their annual fundraiser, Saturday, February 28th, 7:30 p.m. at Maselli's in Lawrence. Tickets at lawrenceopera.org. And the Soulis Fine Art 20th Annual Winter Auction, featuring Kansas artist Berger Sanzane, along with historic works by KU faculty Raymond Eastwood, Robert Sudlow, and Albert Block. Details at Midwest Art Auction. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump hosted the first meeting of his Board of Peace, which was formed to help rebuild Gaza. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump announced the U.S. will contribute $10 billion to the board.
The White House says more than 40 nations sent representatives, including heads of state from Argentina, Hungary, and others, to attend the meeting at the U.S. Institute of Peace. The president said those involved have promised $7 billion to the effort.
This is something very special, and we're going to straighten out Gaza. We're going to make Gaza very successful and safe. And we're also going to maybe take it a step further where we see hot spots around the world. We can probably do that very easily.
But several key U.S. allies did not join the talks, including the U.K., France, and Sweden, who declined to join the board over concerns about the charter, including concerns it would rival the United Nations. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The Attorney General's office in New Mexico says it's reopening an investigation into allegations of criminal activity at Jeffrey Epstein's former ranch outside of Santa Fe. Special agents and prosecutors will seek immediate access to the full, unredacted federal files on Epstein. Daniel Montano of member station KUNM reports.
Although the U.S. Department of Justice originally closed the state's investigation into Epstein's former Zorro Ranch in 2019, a New Mexico Department of Justice official says revelations in the latest public release of the files, quote, warrant further examination. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham says she's proud of the state stepping up.
If the FBI and the DOJ won't do it, we'll do it. And we will be transparent.
The NMDOJ plans to work in concert with the state legislature's Epstein Truth Commission, which was established just days before the AG's announcement. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Montano in Albuquerque.
Amazon has officially dethroned Walmart as the world's biggest company by sales. NPR's Alina Selyuk reports the online retailer got a big boost from its cloud computing business.
The comparison is really close. Walmart sales over last year versus Amazon's came in at $713 billion versus $717 billion. A note that Amazon is among NPR's financial supporters. On the retail side, the two watch each other closely and increasingly compete for the same dollars. Amazon has tried a foray into physical stores and really focuses on offering the cheapest prices. Walmart has grown its online sales and a fast delivery network, drawing more and more high-income shoppers. But Amazon's trump card is its cloud computing business. Amazon Web Services this month reported its fastest growth in years, fueled by the race for artificial intelligence. Alina Selyuk, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. 8 people have died in a deadly avalanche in California's Sierra Nevada. Many of the victims were connected to a ski academy near Lake Tahoe. One person remains missing. Authorities say recovery efforts may be delayed by at least another day because of dangerous mountain conditions. The victims were found close together near Castle Peak. 6 others were rescued alive on Tuesday. The United Nations says it's found hallmarks of a genocide and atrocities carried out by a paramilitary group at war with Sudan's army during a siege on a major city last year. NPR's Emmanuel Akinwatu reports the UN says thousands of people were killed and raped during 3 days by the rapid support forces.
The report by UN investigators concludes the RSF carried out ethnically targeted killings, widespread sexual violence, and torture during 3 days of horror in October last year. It occurred during the takeover of Al-Fashir, a city in the western region of Darfur, following an 18-month siege. Investigators found the RSF targeted Sudan's non-Arab communities, and survivors described attempts by the group to, quote, clean the city. Several women and girls as young as 7 years old were raped and abused. The group is widely held to be backed and armed by the United Arab Emirates, which denies this. According to some estimates, as many as 400,000 people have died during the almost 3-year war in Sudan, which has created the world's largest humanitarian crisis. Emmanuel Akinwotu, NPR News, Lagos.
I'm Winter Johnston, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at hewlett.org.
This is it. This is the place. It's where you find all-night jazz and NPR News at the top of the hour. We are Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson, and this is Jazz in the Night, All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. Let's start out this hour with a couple of Monk-flavored pieces, a Monk composition coming up in this set. We'll start out, though, with one written by pianist Barry Harris. This is Barry Harris and his group live in New York, the group including Charles Davis on tenor saxophone with Ronnie Ben-Hur on guitar and Paul West on bass, the drummer's Leroy Williams. And let's let Mr. Harris himself introduce the piece. Barry Harris from live in New York, here on Kansas Public Radio.
This is written on the order of Thelonious Monk. We hope you will enjoy. Let's call it Monking Around.